In the name of God, Father, Son, and Holy Spirit. Amen. Please sit. I want to explain that the reason I'm not occupying the heavenly places is not because I'm feeling my age, because I've been doing that for a long time, but it really is hotter up there. It really is. So I'm not just playing hooky because the boss is away. I will tell her what I've been doing. Because I know you would have done anyway. These are wonderful readings today. I mean, it's a cornucopia of texts. But I choose just one. And if nothing else, please hold on to this text. Claim it as a promise this week. Isaiah 58, verse 11. And you shall be like a watered garden. Isn't that great? In Philadelphia, we lived in a three-story row home in Center City. The third floor gave access to a tiny deck, and on this deck, year after year, we decided, well, really Wendy, decided to grow tomato plants. The pots, the soil, the plants, we carried laboriously upstairs. Well, really, Wendy. With tender and expert care, we prepared the soil and we planted the tomatoes. Well, really, Wendy. And all was good. But then came my role, the watering. And that wasn't easy. You see, unless we had guests, we never went to the third floor of this house. And there was no water supply on the deck or even near the deck. So year after year, the produce from these tomato plants were withered, dried, sun-seared leaves. I'm reminded of that classic definition of insanity. To keep on doing the same thing over and over again, expecting different results. But not so now. You see, the plants sit on our deck. We cannot miss them. And thank God there is a water supply and a hose near at hand, so dear old Alan doesn't have to do much labor to water them. And this summer, after 8 years of waiting, we are at last eating the fruit of Wendy's labors. You shall be like a watered garden. Pray it this week for you, those you love, for situations which seem to be drying up, arid, hopeless, fractured earth. You shall be like a watered garden. In recent weeks, we have known what it is to look for shade, to enjoy cool breezes, to be thankful even for rain. In fact, one loving, caring parishioner provided me with this for Sunday church. It has this wonderful fan, and also, it sprays. He wanted me to be literally like a watered garden. But all this experience of heat we know is passing. As House Stark motto reads, we know winter is coming. But more profound is the experience which we all share of arid dryness from time to time, when our souls seem bereft of the experience of God, when our hearts feel unable to love, and when our minds seem to shut down and we can no longer be creative or imaginative. But in those situations, God promises that he will work. Listen to these verses from Psalm 103, Message Translation. Oh, my soul, bless God from head to toe. I will bless his holy name. Oh, my soul, bless God. Do not forget a single blessing. He forgives your sins, everyone. He heals your diseases, everyone. He redeems you from hell, saves your life. He crowns you with love and mercy, a paradise crown. He wraps you in goodness, beauty eternal. He renews your youth. You are always young in his presence. Your lives shall be like a watered garden. Transformation, attention, and production. Now, if I were in England, I would say that acronym spells TAP, and every person would realize that from a tap comes water, watered garden. The acronym FAWCET doesn't work quite as well, so I'll stay with TAP. Transformation, attention, production. Transformation. Friends, the whole of our spiritual lives has to do with transformation. In fact, to be human is to be involved in the process of transformation. The choice is, how will we be transformed? What is the goal of our transformation? Like it or not, we are being changed. And the reason I come to church, well, I'm paid, but the reason I come to church, if I were not paid, the reason I pray, the reason I want to get involved in spiritual conversation is I want my life to be transformed like a watered garden, being orderly and diverse and productive. But it's a process. And I and you need help. So Isaiah says, your lives will begin to glow in the darkness. Process. Professor C.S. Lewis was once told he was not much of an advertisement for Christianity. And his reply, you remember, he said, oh, you should have seen me before I became a Christian. It's all about transformation. You see, it is devilish when we allow ourselves to set goals of perfection. Devilish. But God is moving us toward that. With hiccups on the way, stops and starts, but in process. In fact, in Christian scripture, the word salvation has three tenses. Paul says, I have been saved, I will be saved. And then he says gloriously, I am in the process of being saved. So how's that working for you? Transformation, then attention. You see, what we learned over those 8 years is A, that I'm lazy, and B, plants need to be watered. They need attention. And our God is the one who continuously gives to us his full, undivided, constant attention. Now, for some, that's an awful thought. You know, it's like the unseen guest trying to catch you out. It's like the first you have come that Rob mentioned. You have come, you have not come to this terrifying, terrible, scary mountain. Though some feel that when God gives attention, that's what it's like. But Hebrews says this, you have not come to that, you have come to Jesus. You have come to the living God. And that is the God who gives us his attention. You know, during World War II and the London Blitz, an ARP air raid warden was doing his beat one evening, and he was really surprised to discover an elderly woman asleep on a park bench, just sitting up, quietly sleeping, when all the bombs were dropping. So he gently woke her, and he said, "How can you possibly be sleeping in this situation?" And she said, "Well, the psalmist tells me, the Lord neither slumbers nor sleeps, and I really didn't see why both of us should stay awake." He gives us his constant attention. The only challenge is, are we making ourselves aware of that? Are we opening ourselves up to the light of his attention? And finally, the production of this watered garden. Message. You will use the old rubble of your past lives to build anew. You will rebuild the foundations from out of your past. You shall repair the breach. See, this is what happens when we surrender to God as a watered garden. Whatever has occurred in our lives that has been damaging, hurtful, that has caused resentment, chronic pain, this watered garden experience allows that to be repaired and reused and to create a beautiful, constant structure. Not that God sent those things, no. But in the economy of God, in his hands, as a watered garden, these things are transformed. You remember the gospel passage about the feeding of the 5,000? Luke tells us there were masses of scraps left over, but they were gathered and they were used. 12 baskets full. This is the gorgeous production of the watered garden which God intends you and me and us as a community to be. And I finish with one of the great statements of Jesus in the Gospel, John 7:37. On the last great day of the feast, Jesus stood up and declared, "If anyone thirsts, let him come to me and drink. And out of his belly, out of his deepest being, will flow rivers of living water." Do you thirst? Do you ache and yearn to be this watered garden? Thirst. Come. Thirst. Worship. Thirst. Love. Thirst. Pray. And thirst and serve. Amen.